First Baptist Church of Redmond, July 10th, 2011. Guests George and Kathy Abbas. Psalm 46.
This song is entitled, "We Trust in the Name of the Lord Our God." Bibles, please, and before we do that, let's sing one more hymn together. Open your hymnals to page 88, hymn number 88. At our home church, we are memorizing some verses from Acts chapter 1, and Acts chapter 1 seems to be more narrative, and maybe you wouldn't necessarily think of memorizing a portion of Scripture like that. Other than, you see the famous verse 8 that so many have memorized about receiving power. But it's been interesting as we've been going through that to see just in that narrative how there is so much proof of what Jesus has done for us, of who he is and what he has done. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the gospel. That little phrase, he showed himself alive. Now, if you ended up in court in some kind of a traffic accident, especially if it's someone else's fault, what do you want when you get to court? You want some eyewitnesses, not just one, but a number of eyewitnesses who could come and say, they ran the light. They did whatever was wrong. Eyewitnesses. Even as you go into the Old Testament, you find out that with one eyewitness wasn't enough. the Old Testament, yeah, the law, you needed several eyewitnesses before someone could actually be put to death for a major crime. But eyewitness proof is about as good as you can get. And here he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Not just one quick viewing, not one distant viewing, but he showed himself alive by spending time with them, answering their questions, giving them instructions. And that was the disciples. And then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you see that he was seen of above 500 people all at one time. And he says, most of those people are still alive if you want to go talk to them. That's what he said when he wrote that letter to the church at Corinth. And so what we believe is remarkable. And yet there is so much historical proof for it. And we go to the Word of God, our historical record, and see eyewitnesses of the proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And then that portion of Scripture ends with that story that I always get a kick out of when I'm going through it. And that is the story of Jesus giving them instructions, and then he just goes right straight up in the air and disappears in a cloud. Now, how would you respond if you're talking to a good friend and all of a sudden they just started going straight up and disappeared in a cloud? You'd do this like I would. And they were so amazed with that, they didn't even realize that the two angels were standing next to him saying, "Ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which went up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." This same Jesus. The historical record is that he rose from the dead. They saw him go up, but the angel said he's coming back. Are you prepared for that? Prepared for Jesus to come back? One of these days, he's going to come back the same way, just right out of the sky, land on Mount Olivet, and take over. I mean, there's a lot more to the story, a lot of the things happening in between, and we understand that, but he is coming back. This is the Jesus now that you're singing about. When we all stand together on page 88 of your hymnal, and we sing, "Fairest Lord Jesus."
Jesus shines bright. Jesus shines blue.
thank you. You may be seated. Now let's go to the Word. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 46. We'll sing this for you. It's a real simple chorus. Each time we sing the chorus, which is verse number 1, after you hear it once, you can sing along with us. While you're finding Psalm 46, repeat after me. God is our refuge.
God is our refuge.
God is our strength.
God is our strength.
A very present help in trouble.
A very present help in trouble.
Each time you hear that, you sing along with us. And then we'll sing verses 2 and 3 for you.
God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble.
Though the earth be removed,
God is our refuge, therefore we will not fear.
Though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea,
God is our refuge, we will not fear. God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble.
Though the waters thereof
roar and be troubled, therefore we will not fear.
Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof,
God is our refuge, we will not fear.
Let's sing together.
God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help, a very present help, a very present help in trouble.
Very good. Keep your Bibles open to that portion of Scripture, if you would, please. Let's consider this portion of Scripture just a little bit here this morning. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's fun to sing that verse because it sounds good. It sounds noble. If you're a Christian, it just feels good to say, well, God is my refuge. God is my strength. When I was a small child, I was like most small children in that I took statements by adults literally. It's just kind of the way the little child's brain works. For instance, my parents used to occasionally use a phrase. They might be talking about someone that hadn't done something properly or someone that wasn't doing things logically. And my parents would say, they don't have sense enough to come in out of the rain. And I would think, man, they must be really stupid. Because if I was outside playing and it starts pouring, I knew what to do. I was maybe even smarter than that other person. I'm smart enough to come in out of the rain. And, why is that? It's because I knew that the house was the safe place. That was our refuge. I could make the run for it, and if it starts to rain, I could stay dry. Or if, somebody's big, mean dog was loose or the bully was running around the neighborhood, what would I do? I'd head for the screen door. Yeah, because it was a safe place. Our home was our refuge. What a great way to start this psalm. Did you see that? The very first thing he says, God is our refuge and strength. What's the very last thing he says in this psalm? Verse 11, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And if that wasn't enough, look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Psalm 46. And as we consider just a few things from this psalm that you have so graciously given us, I pray that our hearts and minds will be open and ready to receive it. Pray that you will give me a clear thinking as I present this, that you would be glorified. If there are any that do not know you as their personal Savior, dear Lord, I ask that you would touch their hearts, convict them of sin, and draw them to yourself and save them. Those of us who are believers, May we be encouraged in our walk with you, I pray, in your holy name. Amen. This psalm is basically set up like a song. When we open up our hymnals, we see usually four verses. Most of the hymns have four verses. That's kind of the way they're set up. But we would tend to call them stanzas. Now, when you're opening your Bible and you see a psalm, you see verses. But I think we can very easily see that this particular song, Psalm 46, is set up in three stanzas. And what separates them is the word Selah, or Selah, however you like to say it. The very last word of verse 3, the very last word of verse 7, and the very last word in the psalm. As best we can tell, that word means pause and calmly think of that. As a musical term, we would consider it as though it were like a fermata. How many of you are musicians and have heard that term before? The fermata. What that is, if you're not a musician, is you'd be going along in the music, and every once in a while you might see what looks like a dot and then a half a circle over the top of it. Some people even just call it a bird's eye. That's what it looks like. And what that means is you come up to this point, you maybe slow down a little bit, you get to that fermata, that bird's eye, and you stop, and there's a break in the music, and then you start in again. If you're playing the piano, you lift your hands, and then you go on. It's a breaking point. There are those three breaking points in this particular song. So we're going to look at the three stanzas. Verse numbers 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We've already sung that. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. As I said, that sounds pretty noble. God is our refuge and strength. And I was fine with all that until he started talking about natural disasters. What is your natural reaction if you are in the middle of a major earthquake or you're standing on the beach and a tsunami starts coming at you? Natural reaction. Help me out. One word. Fear. Yeah. The one word is fear. So did you notice, though, that the writer, the psalmist, David says, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Well, I don't know about him, but I do know about me, and my initial reaction is going to be fear. So how do you get past this fear in the face of horrible natural disasters? Mountains being thrown into the sea, that's pretty serious. I just read, as I'm reading in the Gospels, I just read about the disciples being in a boat, and a horrible storm came up. Professional fishermen, so you know that this was a big-time serious storm that came up because they were afraid for their lives. And Jesus, of course, they wake him up. He's sleeping through the storm. And they wake him up and he calms the storm. And it says in there that they were fearful. And then he just looks at him and says, why did you have such a little amount of faith? I think what we need to take from this portion of Scripture is that you don't need to be surprised by that first reaction of fear when a natural disaster comes. But what you need to remember is God is our refuge and strength. The one who created all this, he is the one who we can run to for help. Therefore, since it is God, the creator of the entire universe, since he's the creator, all we need to do is to run to him because he is our refuge and strength. Did you notice the word very? He is a very present help. Now, I looked that word up in my Strong's Concordance and discovered that the word very means exceedingly much, might, force, abundance. It's because we serve an omnipotent God. That's a word we like to use at church that just means all-powerful. Simply put, God is with us to help us. This is the God with all power. Now, I remember as a child watching the Three Stooges. Anybody else in here ever heard of the Three Stooges? Yeah, okay. And you remember when they would get in big trouble, they'd try to get one of the three to go ahead, and the other two would say, don't be afraid, I'm right behind you. And, that's not the kind of help you want. You want God who is a very present help, exceeding much. This first section we just call no fear. There's no need for fear because God is present. Let's consider the second stanza, and that would be verses 4 through 7. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms are moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. If that first section, if we were to call it one particular phrase, we would say that's no fear. Well, this second phrase, I like to call this second stanza of this three stanza hymn, I like to call this no falling back. Well, why is that? Verse number 5 says, she shall not be moved. We do not need to retreat because we are in a safe place. Our refuge is a safe place. But you know, if you run to a refuge and you know, you get out of the rain, you get out away from the enemy, and it's a safe place, that's well and good. But what if you have to stay there for a while? And what if there's no provision? After a while, a refuge can become a prison if there's no water and there's no food and there's no way to have good shelter. All of a sudden, the refuge becomes a prison. Did you notice how this second stanza started out? There is a river. Now, I suspect that you folks, if you're born and raised here, might have a little more trouble relating to this than those of us who live in the Southwest would have. We're from Denver, Colorado, and so, you know, we take long drives through like New Mexico and Arizona, and even going out to the east through Kansas, you know, there are you can go for miles and miles and miles and not see, you know, lots of trees. You can't go 20 feet here without seeing lots of trees because it's just, it's a beautiful area. We love coming and visiting here. But what we will notice if we're driving across the freeway, and you know, it might be wheat fields or just wide open desert, and off in the distance you see a long stand of trees. What's over there? Water, a river, a stream, something. There is provision there. Stuff grows where there's provision. Trees, plants, it's a good place to go. Where do the animals go? Well, they go where the provision is. There is a river. Almighty God is not just our refuge. He is also our provider. It's fun to go through Psalm 100 and see God as our creator, our owner, and our provider. It's fun to see that in Psalm 23, where it says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There is provision when we are near the one who is our refuge. There's no fear in that first stanza. There's no falling back. God is a personal God for us. You know, in the first stanza, we saw turbulent seas. In the second stanza, you see this stream of provision. Thank the Lord that God is our refuge. Let's just go right to the third stanza. We'll just kind of keep this moving here. There's so much to say about each one of these stanzas. They're so full. But let's go to number 3. What was the first one? No fear. The second one, no falling back. And I like to call this third stanza, no failure. Let me read it. Just a few verses. Starting with verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. God is our provider in this portion of Scripture. No fear, no falling back, and now no failure. There's a word used in that first verse that we read there, verse 8, the word desolations. And as you look through there, you see that God utterly decimates the enemies. When I was in Bible college, at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, this must have been the fall of 1970 or something like that, the school decided that it needed a football team because colleges have football teams. And somebody donated a whole bunch of uniforms. And obviously, if you have equipment, you must have a team, right? Well, not necessarily. Yeah, you have to put bodies into the team, into those uniforms, and it's best if you put large football talented bodies. And so first year out, just the end of the season, a couple of games, and Maranatha Baptist Bible College made national news. Maybe some of you gentlemen even remember reading this, 40 years ago, that they suffered the worst defeat in college history. I think the score was 92-0. That, my friends, is a good definition of the term desolation. My roommate, John Getch, played in that game. I had, several friends of mine that I still keep in touch with played in that game. And John's comment about that game was, "Hey, we won the coin toss." And, the thing is, they even quit early. They didn't finish the fourth quarter. They got into the third quarter, and finally our coach conceded that we may not catch up. And there's just a silly little illustration of desolation. There is no need to worry about God losing. There is no failure. Because when the I am says, "I will," it is. What does verse number 5 say? "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Once again, when the I am says, "I will," it is. Two questions. Well, not necessarily questions. Invitations, we'll call it that. Two invitations. In verse number 8, what does he say? "Come, behold the works of the Lord." God has revealed himself in many ways, and he has invited us to come and see them. We can see God in creation. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The more you find out about astronomy, the more astounding it is to see how great our Creator God is. Come and see the works of the Lord. We can see him in Revelation. You can go to the Old Testament and see many, many prophecies, covenants, those kinds of things are all fulfilled because God is faithful. And so you can see the works of God in creation and Revelation. One other way you can see the work of God in the incarnation. There again, that's a word we use at church that just means God became man. He is all God. He is all man. That's Jesus we're talking about. Come and see. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's 1 John 4:9. And so you see, we can take that invitation to come and see that the works of God in creation and revelation, incarnation. There's one other invitation, though. Let's look at this, and then we'll wrap it up here. Verse number 10 in this psalm, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." We cannot help. Why? Because we are helpless. There was a little cartoon in the paper years ago that showed a little boy under his dad's feet. The dad is trying to move a big upright piano across the room. And each time the dad tries to move something, the little boy is kind of under his feet and in the way. But you see, the dad is being patient. And when the father finally gets the piano to the other side of the room, the little boy looks up at him and says, "Thanks for the help." And I think, what a great illustration of us thinking that we can help God. Be still. Just kind of stand back and watch God work. Be still and know. There's confidence there. What do we say this is? No failure. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God's word is given to us that we can know. These things are written that ye may know. The bottom line is always that God must be glorified. I will be exalted. Help me with the review. The first stanza tells us that we should have what? No fear. The second stanza tells us we should have what? No falling back. And what does the third stanza say? no failure. Who are we dealing with? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'll ask you one other question to close this off. Are you smart enough to come in out of the rain? Do you take God's word literally? Even in the face of natural disasters, do you understand that God is our refuge? Do you understand that when you are in need of provision, that there is a river, the streams whereof will make glad the city of our God? Do you realize that when you have any questions or doubts or anything, that when the I am says, I will, it is. He said, I will be exalted. We're dealing with the great Creator God who sent His Son. Almighty God came to earth to save us. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins so that that gap between you and God can be bridged by the cross, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What are you going through right now in your life? Are you facing some kinds of storms? Maybe not natural disasters, but disasters nonetheless in your own life that are causing fear? Run to God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Pastor Doug.